This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. We're talking law and order this morning. If you have any questions, the sheriff is here. Sheriff Robert Arnold is with us this morning from the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office, where there is a lot going on.
There's always a lot going on. Good morning.
You have one of the more popular bed and breakfast in town, I guess.
Yes.
And lunch and dinner, too.
Doors always are open.
How many customers do you have now?
As of this morning, 895 inmates at the county jail.
Almost a full house. Well, what is a full house?
Technically, 956. But once a jail is 80% full, it's full. Because naturally, you have some people that are incompatible with other people. And so you have to have room to move people around to kind of separate people. So technically, we're full.
Now, when you say incompatible with other people, they just pick fights, or do they do more than that?
Well, you have some that pick fights, some people that know each other on the street that, you know, they have a problem with each other and they just cannot be around each other. We have people that are in protective custody. We have to keep those people separated from the general population, and those numbers always fluctuate up and down. Then we have our people that are in segregation for either administrative seg or just, you know, having time out, as you would say, for whatever reason that they've done in the jail, that, you know, we put them up in segregation. We have medical. Medical has become the biggest thing for us. With people in the past couple of years with the medical program that we have, detox. Whenever people are coming in for alcohol or drugs, see, we have to keep a whole, now we have a pod that is dedicated to nothing but medical, and we have to keep an eye on these people, and medical has to have a certain area to work, and that is actually, the jail was never designed for that, and so we've had to, the past few years, overcome that and work it in. Hopefully, you know, whenever the county should ever decide to do something with another jail or something like that, we can design that into it. But this jail was never designed for those reasons.
And this jail is not that old.
This jail is about 16 years old.
The high rise.
The high rise.
Okay. Boy, time flies.
Yes. And actually, I was at a school a couple of weeks ago, and they talked about how jails are typically built. The lifespan is only 40 years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're coming up on halfway through this lifespan of this jail.
Now, when you face issues that are needed, you talked about health issues, keeping those prisoners separated, other issues that nobody thought about these issues 20, 30, 40 years ago. Is a jail today, if you were to build a jail today, would it be different from what you have? Would it have to be different?
Definitely. It would have to be totally different. The biggest thing that I've learned since taking office is, you know, whenever we're dealing with jails, in the past we didn't think about it. Jails have gone through a lot of evolutions in the past, you know, 15, 20 years. The jail is the largest expense that the county has. It's an expense that they don't want to have. But yet it's the biggest liability upon the county. We can get more lawsuits because of stuff within the jail. We've got to make sure we dot our I's and cross our T's within the jail because of those reasons. It is, you know, naturally schools are very popular with the commission and, you know, with the public itself. They want to throw money at that, but the jail is the biggest liability, and I've been trying since I've been in office to teach the commission that we need to pay more attention to the jail. I know it's not very popular, but yet it is the biggest liability Rutherford County does have.
Now, in looking over your statistics, and we do have those here, you brought them for us to look over, you have no persons on suicide watch, persons...
Well, no, that's wrong, because the suicide watch thing is totally different. Mm-hmm. And I think right now we have 6 people on suicide watch, but the way that our system... Basically, when it comes to our software issues at the sheriff's office, we're using AOL version 1.0. It's about 3 generations behind. But everything else is pretty much up to date.
You have, 110 persons with military service backgrounds. Mm-hmm. What does that do? I mean, does that give them special service?
It just gives it the federal government statistics.
Oh, okay. 40 foreign-born. Mm-hmm. Now, in our school systems, we have to have different persons to interpret what those persons are saying, and it's quite large.
Mm-hmm.
Do you face that same issue?
Yes, that is one of our biggest issues, and that's one thing I've been working with HR. Naturally, we have to communicate with these people, and... It's very hard to get someone with those skills to want to be a deputy and to work within a jail environment. And so I'm trying to get like a stipend or something like that for pay, because to encourage some of these people to come in and work within the jail. Right now we're trying out the iPhone. It has an app on it where you can talk into it in one language and it will repeat it back to you in English or vice versa. So we're trying to use some technology, but that is, that's always very hard for us.
Does it work pretty well, the app?
From what they tell me.
Oh, okay. So if you handed that to a person who spoke another language and they spoke into the iPhone, it would come out in English.
Yes.
That hopefully could be understood by someone who speaks English.
Yes.
Okay. Actually, 40 persons out of 895, which is your total inmate population,
mm-hmm.
that's not as big of an issue as I thought it might be. Is there any one language that seems to be dominant in that 40, or is it about as varied as...
I'd say it's varied. I mean, naturally, Spanish would probably be the larger majority in there, but I'd say it is varied.
Okay, so you really need a lot of help. As far as languages go.
Yeah, and we're lucky. We got one guy who does, he speaks fluent French. He's actually from France. He's now a naturalized citizen. We've got a couple other people around there that can speak Spanish pretty well. But, sometimes we run into other languages and we need help with those, and we'll have to call somebody. And we have several people throughout the county that we can call that are volunteers that will come in day or night and help us out.
Does your ratio of different races, does that compare, is it comparable to what our population base is? I mean, when you look at the total population of Rutherford County, I see you have, 65.47% of your population is white.
Mm-hmm.
Is that about what the... county is,
I believe, or? So. I was looking at those statistics on Wikipedia the other night, and I can't recall exactly what those statistics were, but I believe so.
Okay. Now, obviously, the male versus female is not comparable, unless there's something that's going on. 79.89% male and 20.11. If that was the ratio.
Yeah, we'd all be in trouble.
So, women just don't get in trouble as much, or there's no place to house what?
We've got the facilities to house them, but they just don't get in trouble as much.
Interesting. That would be an interesting social issue to study on that.
Yeah, we have a very limited area for the women because, naturally, they don't get in trouble as much.
Mm-hmm. Now, are they basically in the... When I say the old jail, the one-story jail that...
The annex. Mm-hmm. Yes, we just recently moved them back to the annex. We had them up on level 2 of the jail. And what we had done is we created a classification system. I want to say it was it was the spring of 09, whenever the classification system was created, and we moved all the females out of the annex up to level 2. And basically, as soon as you came to jail, you went to the annex, you were classified, but we also were using those pods as medical, because we had the old indoor rec yard and the outdoor rec yard. We just recently, because of our population, we had to move the females back to the annex and put the males back on level 2 for more bed space, because roughly each pod or each level will hold up to 200 inmates. And as you can see, we had a lot of bed space that we weren't using on that level, but we couldn't put males up there because females were up there. So we had to kind of adjust.
Looks like you're having about 30% of your inmate population in that revolving door issue, the recidivism, where they come back again.
Yes.
And again and again.
And again, yeah.
Is that normal, a 30% coming back, 60% learning a lesson?
That's the trend here in Rutherford County. If you go back and look at all of these that we've had for many years, this is the trend for here.
And I know you're working on a lot of things to change that, mm-hmm. to give them some life skills.
Yes.
The garden is one of those. How's that going?
The garden is going great. If you get a chance, please drive by it. Everything's up about, after this rain, definitely about 3 inches. We also made, I believe it was Co-op Magazine. There was an article, I put it on my Facebook the other day. Big article that they put, it's going statewide, the magazine is, and about the Garden of Hope.
Mm-hmm. And that is very unique. I mean, there are not many other...
There's not many. I know Shelby County has a garden, and then I know Warren County, I believe, has a garden. But other than that, I don't know if Cannon County does or not.
What is your biggest need right now at the Adult Detention Center?
Space.
Space?
Space. We are out of space. For our inmates and for the officers, when it comes to office space for us. I've got a conference room that we've had to turn into offices. We've got closets that we've turned into offices. So naturally, it's the space issue.
Thank goodness you have a lot of land. So if there was ever money freed up, you have a land on which to build.
Yes. Yes.
Any idea when that might be? From guessing that.
We were the next in line. We've got the studies, and really and truly, if you look at the timelines of everything, we were already supposed to have had a new jail right beside the other one, another tower.
That was the conversation a good while back.
Yes, and it had a date on it when it would be built and all that, and everything's been pushed back, and it was even pushed back before we even had the economy the way it is. Naturally, before I took office, there was talk about doing a $9 million renovation at the jail. That looked like it was going to happen. There was some entities that couldn't agree upon certain things, and so finally everyone pushed away from the table. And then, of course, the election happened, transition, and that all got taken off the table. I went back, talked with the mayor. We have now freed up about $1 million to try to buy some more space somewhere and try to do something as a temporary patch, maybe get us through about 3-4 more years until we have to do some renovations.
Now, when we go back to your teenage years, mm-hmm. and you were probably not thinking about jails,
no.
But I remember very clearly when the jail, the high rise that we now have, was created, mm-hmm. there was a strong effort to include into that enough strength in the foundation, in the structure, to have it several stories taller,
yes.
than it actually is now.
Yes.
But that was never completed because of financial issues.
Yeah,
same thing you're facing now. But it looks like it would be less expensive to add several more floors to what you have than to build another 13-story
actually,
building.
Actually, it would cost probably twice as much to
you're
add.
You're kidding.
Yes, because you have to come in, set up all the equipment. You got to work around everybody else. And that's what I've been told.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a contractor, but talking with the mayor's office, talking with different contractors around the sheriff's office, and talking with Virgil, that this conversation has been talked about several times before, that it would cost probably as much to add the three more floors that is supposed to be able to build up as it cost to build the nine that they built.
Wow.
Just because of the whole having to set everything up and having to do everything.
But would it be less than building another total building?
No, it'd probably cost, you know,
more.
Yeah, it cost $23 million to build that jail. Back in, I guess they financed that in 95. And so, then of course we moved in it in 98, late 98. But it would cost probably as much as that to add the four more floors on it. You know, one thing that they wanted to do back in the day, and they begged the commission, the former sheriff begged the commission to do it, was just add one more floor on it, one more level, and not dry it in. Just build the structure, and then later on they come back and add it in. And they wouldn't. And I think at that time there was lots of, from what I understand, because I was still in high school and I wasn't thinking about jails or politics. You know, there was a lot of stuff going on about finances. And plus, when they originally built that building, they were supposed to put pillars in the ground to mm-hmm. build that facility on. And whenever they started doing it, they realized that about 20 feet underground, or maybe around 25 feet, basically there's a mountain and there's a cliff. And so when they started trying to do it and they realized that they couldn't drive these pillars in, it wasn't going to hit bedrock, that they had to pour a big, huge, I think it's a 4-foot slab of concrete to build this facility on, because it would become the Leaning Tower of Rutherford County if they did it the other way. And so that's why they had to cut some floors off of it. Basically, they had a budget, $23 million, and they had to figure out how to live within that budget. And that and that's what we're living with today.
Now, one of the other issues that you're working through today is the kitchen. I know you've been without a kitchen for...
Since September, I think, 16th of last year.
And you're having all the food prepared a couple of miles away at the...
County workhouse.
How much more time do you need?
They tell me that we will be up and running. We will cook our first meal on October the 1st this year.
That date has moved ahead. I mean, moved out a little bit farther. Wasn't it July earlier?
No. Well, that's what our original goal was, but everything kept kind of getting pushed back whenever it came to letting out the bids, the bid process, signing the contracts, and all that. I think they had 199 days to build it from the time that they signed the contract. And so I think they signed the contract the 1st of March. And so the way it all works out, October 1st is the day that they have to be complete, which I've talked to the contractor several times walking around back there, and they say they're ahead of schedule quite a bit. And the brick remediation that we had to do, the brick that were falling off the building.
What caused that? I remember that. Well, why was it? That's pretty unusual.
Poor design.
Okay.
and workmanship. They were supposed to be done around 1st of July. They were already done. They've packed up and left about 2 weeks ago. And it's because of the warm winter we had, the mild winter. They were that far ahead of schedule. So we're hoping that maybe the kitchen might be that far ahead of schedule as well, because Lord knows I'd love to get back in there and get our inmates back to us cooking, them working in the kitchen. But to me, and it's my opinion, that our quality of food that we cook at the jail is a lot better than what we are purchasing right now. Because what we're purchasing right now, we're purchasing it from a company that makes money. Their whole goal is to make money. And so we have a certain amount of money we pay for a meal.
These are not the trustees at the workhouse.
The trustees are the ones that help cook it, but yet ABL is a company that works or has a contract with Rutherford County to do the cooking at the workhouse. So they are over the kitchen. At the sheriff's office, we have our own staff. And I think that our food quality is a lot better. And it just I just can't wait to get back into our kitchen.
I tell you what let's do. Let's pause for just a moment. When we come back, we're going to open up the phone lines. If you have any questions for Sheriff Arnold, our number is 893-1450, 893-1450. Maybe you have been concerned with some of the renovations. Maybe you see the light at the end of the tunnel if you have a loved one who's incarcerated, and you see that light at the end of the tunnel, and you're getting excited also. I'd like to hear from you. 893-1450. We're also going to talk about volunteers. Are there areas that you need volunteers at the adult detention center? So there you sneak preview there. Yes, he needs you. We'll be right back.
The only place you'll hear good neighbor talk is WGNS, Murfreesboro. Hey, call a friend right now. Spread that news.
Did you hear that on the radio?
I heard it.
The Ford F-150 has been named the 2012 Motor Trend Truck of the Year. Visit the Swap Your Ride sales event today at Ford of Murfreesboro to take advantage of their low-interest loans. F-150s are starting out for as little as $18,995. Your F-150 is awaiting you. Visit Ford of Murfreesboro on Broad at Northfield or online at fordofmurfreesboro.com.
Hi, this is David Lee, General Manager at Ford of Murfreesboro, and I invite you to come down and see our full selection of Fords, and we'll give you the best deal in town.
Hello, I'm Greg Tidwell from Bell Jewelers. We carry the full line of Tag Heuer watches, all at 15% off every day. Our in-house watch technicians will replace the batteries and pressure test all Tag watches for half the price of other stores in our area. Bring it into Bell Jewelers.
Bell Jewelers on Broad Street in Murfreesboro, across from Toots.
Your golf headquarters.
Get new and quality used golf clubs from Nike, TaylorMade, Callaway, pre-owned, and more. Save money on drivers, hybrids, wedges, and iron sets and accessories at Played Against Sports on Thompson Lane.
Good morning once again. We have a good deal of congestion on I-24 at 96, I-24 at 231. Still clearing that accident on Memorial Boulevard at DeJarnett Lane. We are also seeing lots of congestion as you make your way into Midtown Nashville. We have an accident at I-24 westbound near mile marker 63, which is near the Rutherford County-Davidson County line. Expect some major slowdown through there. Save now, save big. 50% off auto glass and a nationwide warranty. Trust America's auto glass specialist, Glassmasters. To beat any competitor's price, call 248-5570. I'm Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. What about that Murfreesboro weather? Brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
We have a slight chance for showers and storms developing this afternoon. Plenty of sunshine, high of 86. Tonight, a slight chance for showers. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Feluber. Right now, 66.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. If you're thinking about buying a home or refinancing a home, see Becky Walker or Jonathan Bolden at First National Mortgage Services, 2230 Mercury Boulevard, an equal housing lender.
Murfreesboro owned. Murfreesboro proud. Talk Radio WGNS, Murfreesboro. FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, TV 11.
Take your cat and leave my sweater. Have nothing left to weather. In fact, I feel a whole lot better. But you'll think of me. You'll think of me.
There goes another inmate. That's terrible. 893-1450 is our number. Actually, I dropped a book in here. 893-1450 is our number. Sheriff Robert Arnold is with us this morning. And let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS with the sheriff. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. I'd like to say I believe Mr. Arnold's doing a pretty good job.
Well, thank
you. But I want you to comment to two things I'm fixing to say after I hang up.
Okay.
If marijuana was legal in this state, how many inmates would be leaving out of that 800 and something? And if we had no illegal immigrants in this state, how many would leave out of that 800 and something? Comment to both of those, please. Keep doing a good job. Thank you.
Thank you. If marijuana was legal, You know, I don't know exactly how many we have incarcerated that are just on marijuana charges. Let's shoot a ballpark, maybe a year, maybe 100. Their charges are only marijuana. Maybe 100. Now, sometimes people come in jail, they'll get charged with some marijuana charge, and then they'll have some other charges. That's why I say just marijuana. I would say probably about 100 a year.
Now, if somebody was in there on marijuana, that would be selling marijuana.
That would be selling marijuana or possession of marijuana.
And they probably also are selling other things too, aren't they?
Well, or normally, they? I mean, if you're just going to say just a marijuana charge, I would actually say just possession of marijuana, you know, and it could be possession for personal intake or consumption is a better word. I would say maybe, you know, that's very hard. You could say anywhere from 50 to 100 a year that's their only charge. But selling marijuana and other things, you know, there are some people that probably just sell marijuana. That's all they do. And so you would have to classify them in on that. But a lot of people, they sell just a little bit of everything. They're, you know, they're, as I heard it said one time, these guys are street corner pharmaceutical engineers. So they've got a nice big title. They sell a little bit about everything, but they'll do it from the street corner.
Now, he also asked about illegal aliens, and you have 40 foreign-born.
Yes.
Out of almost 900. So is that about the ratio?
I would say so. I don't know if that is just saying that they are just foreign-born and they're there. They could be U.S. citizens. I don't have anything I could call and find out. But I don't know if we have anything that just says these people are illegal in this country.
Now, I'm wondering also, could that be because your hands are a little bit tied on investigating illegal aliens?
Yes.
I know you've tried to get that ability, but that never was approved, was it?
No, it was never approved. And, you know, in some ways, after I had to go to court and I had to testify myself, and luckily I saved the county about $250,000 in that lawsuit. And it was because of my background. I could articulate to the judge the moment of arrest, to the bookend process, and then from the bookend process, whenever they go upstairs and they are put into a cell, and from the time of release and the booking calls for their release, and how long it took to get downstairs, the exact process and all that, I had to testify. And you know, the federal government was not willing to back me up. I was on the phone with immigrations out of Nashville. We had an incident where at the time we were doing verbal holds. When we would talk to another law enforcement agency, if another officer said, hold that person, I'll get you the paperwork as soon as I get back to the office, we would go ahead and we considered that a hold at that time. And we have since changed our practices because of that lawsuit, and we were able to defend ourselves, but we decided to change our processes so we wouldn't have to go through that again. When it comes to the illegal aliens and stuff, it has become just a nightmare, and I think that the current administration in Washington just wants it to be that way.
Well, they're the ones suing, what is it, the state of Arizona, who has a major problem.
Yes. So, I mean, you know, I'm not going to get into that. It's my personal.
893-1450 if you have any questions or comments this morning. And right before the break, we ask you about volunteers.
Yes.
What type of volunteer do you, what areas do you need help with?
You know, we could use, there's plenty of retired people in the county that would like to volunteer. We have the reserve program for patrol. We also could use volunteers to kind of help at our in our warrants area, kind of scanning in some old paperwork. We've got a whole room filled with boxes of paperwork, and we could use people that would like to come down and help scan in paperwork. We've got just a wide variety of different things that, You know, now there's some things we can't use volunteers for because it is very sensitive information. But there are other areas within the department we could use volunteers all day long, because naturally right now the commission's not going to give us any more bodies to help us do our job. And so that's one thing that I'm very fortunate in my position as sheriff. The state of Tennessee allows me to have reserve deputies and or have volunteers to do my job. So if anybody out there would like to volunteer, you know, if you have a background in clerical work or, you know, whatever, or you would just like to volunteer, we can teach you how to do just about anything that we need done. If you would like to, just give me a call down at the sheriff's office.
Are you trying to put everything into an electronic format so you can eliminate paper?
Yes, we're trying. That was one of my big things. Is, you know, basically, I want to go paperless. Now, there's some things by law we have to keep paper, and we have to keep it for 100 years. And so, you know, naturally, we've got a building at the sheriff's office, a room that's probably as big as the upstairs here, that's full of boxes of just paperwork. We've filled up the basement over at the old health department, and we filled up our allotted space at archives. And now we're looking for more space to put stuff, because we have to keep it, you know, until someone dies or 100 years. And we don't have the staff to keep up with who all dies that has come into jail. So we just keep everything for 100 years.
Is that like the boxes of evidence you see on those TV shows, NCIS and whatnot?
No. Now we do have numerous boxes of evidence, and they are stored within the sheriff's office because we have to keep those until the cases run out of appeals. So yes, we have quite a few of those. And then we have several cold cases that we still have evidence from back in the 70s that, you know, it's placed in a sealed area just in case something comes back up about that case.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Sheriff. Well, they weren't patient. Well, 893-1450 is our number. You have to be patient when you call in. We like to finish what we're talking about. If you have a question or a comment, 893-1450. Sheriff Robert Arnold is with us. Let me ask you a question. Is your lawn being ruined by moles and voles? Bonide has the solution. Bonide's Mole Max is an effective repellent to use against moles, voles, rabbits, gophers, groundhogs, squirrels, skunks, and other burrowing animals. This environmentally friendly Mole Max makes it a great product to apply in areas where children and pets are playing. Just three or four times per year, to send those nuisance animals away. Bonide's Mole Max. It's available in the 10-pound bag to cover 5,000 square feet, or in the convenient 5-pound shaker applicator for flower and vegetable gardens. Mole Max is also available in a quart-size, ready-to-spray liquid with a built-in hose applicator. Mole Max. You can get it right now. You can get it today at the Co-op Farm and Home Center on Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off South Church, over at the Co-op. You can also get it at Martin's Home and Garden. That's a family business. Martin's Home and Garden. They are on Broad, across from Demas Restaurant. Let's go back to the phones. You're on WGNS with the sheriff. How are you today?
Hello.
Hi.
Morning. I'm sorry, that was my phone. I went through a dead spot right there. It cut out.
I didn't mean to lose y'all. Sure.
Thanks for taking my call, and I want to thank Mr. Arnold. He's doing a wonderful job.
Well, thank you.
I'm just wondering if, do you have a number, your office number, I could call? I need to talk to you off air.
Yes.
If I could leave my number, you can call me back.
Yeah, if you give me a call, the number is 904-3010. 904-3010. If you just...
3010. Okay, thank you a lot, sir. I sure appreciate it.
No problem, sir.
All right.
Bye-bye. Our number is 893-1450. That's how easy it is, 893-1450, and you'll be on the air with the sheriff. Now, what is your next need? Now, the kitchen's going to be behind us.
Booking.
Come September. Booking.
I've got all these
you
memorized.
You knew what you need.
Yes. That's our next thing that we've started mentioning to the mayor's office and to the commission. On the sidebar, just, hey, the next thing that we need to do is we need to redo our booking. The way that we book in people and the way that we do those processes are very outdated. You know, we're one of the few left in the state that does it the way we do it. Basically, when you come into the jail, we put you in, it's called cell 116 if you're a male, 132 if you're female, and everybody goes into one big cell. A lot of things that a lot of departments are doing is kind of the honor system. You come into jail and they have a big area set up just full of chairs, and you're allowed to sit there, and as long as you behave, they even have a TV there, and while you're waiting to be processed, you can sit right there. As long as you're calm, you're not restrained or anything like that, you just sit there and wait till your time is to be processed, and then hopefully you bond out. And so you're just, you come into jail, you sit down, you watch a TV show, then you're out. And it is a whole lot better process for people.
So that's what you're wanting to
that's
go toward.
That's where we're wanting to go. There's several other things that are that process that we need to change. So you know that, and we need some new technology at the sheriff's office.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Sheriff Robert Arnold.
Hello.
Hi. How are you today?
Good morning.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good. Hi.
I was just wondering, would 940 ever get 2-for-1?
No, that was, well, one thing that we've tried to do, it's illegal for me to do 2-for-1s unless you are a sentenced inmate and you have a job as a trustee at the jail. And we have tried, basically, with this explosion in population we've had in the past year or so, we've been recently trying to find jobs that we could do to a lot of inmates to get that 2-for-1, so maybe we could get them through the process and get out of jail. You know, basically they're the misdemeanor crimes, kind of like what's over at the workhouse. And if I can get those guys through the process and get them 2-for-1s, but it's, you know, that's the big rumor that's going around the jail. I was talking to an inmate this morning before I came over here, and he asked me that exact question. Hey, I heard everybody in jail is going to get 2-for-1s. I heard you're going to give it to us. And I was like, no. I can't give it to you. It would be illegal. I can't let you out of jail until the state says you can. Now, if we can find a job for you to do, then we can turn that information over to the state, and the state gives you 2-for-1 for doing things. And one thing that I've had a lot of the inmates doing, if you drive around behind the sheriff's office or beside Malloy Lane, there was a huge part of our property that had been let grown up for, let's say, probably the past 20 years. We have been in the process of cleaning it off, cleaning out the fence rows. There was an old farm fence. The jail doesn't have a fence around it. And so we're just cleaning all that out and getting it all straightened up to where we can eventually just mow it until one day, hopefully, I could convince the commission to fence in the jail like most jails are normally fenced in.
Are you talking about a big fence?
Yes, it'd be a big fence, and it'd be an expensive fence, but typically, we like to have our jails fenced in, so if somebody was to run or something like that, that they're kind of boxed in.
How did that get overlooked?
I don't know. Again, I was, you know, in high
you
school.
You were in high school.
So I don't know about the politics of it back then, but it's something that has been, you know, I guess, I don't know if it's ever even been talked about. I know as an SRO, as soon as we ask for a fence at the school for whatever reason to keep people out or to keep kids in, we'd get it. I've kind of talked about it, and I can't get it right now.
Now, for the jail, if you put a fence around it, are you talking around the entire complex where you would have a security entrance for visitors coming
yes.
in right off the roadway?
Yes.
Or what?
Yeah, that's exactly what that would be my choice. Definitely across the back of it and around the sides of it if we could. That would be my choice if we could.
Any idea how that stands? Is it just in the idea format right now, or is there anyone looking into it seriously?
No, because of money. You know, it's nothing, you know, it's been brought up, but basically right now I've been told that the county can't afford to pay for it.
893-1450 is our number. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Sheriff Robert Arnold.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Sheriff Arnold.
Good morning.
You're doing a great job.
Thank you, sir.
And I think what would help you out a little bit if the city would get more control over spending money on stuff like the sand and the greenway and stuff like that. It seems like they spend millions of dollars and stuff like that. I mean, it's good for the green wave and all of that, but the more important thing for the city is security of the inmates and stuff. I think if they would spend more money on...
Well, see, that's really not a city's... a lot of ways, you have to say it, but it's not the city's problem. It's a county problem, and it falls back on Rutherford County, and the city has their own budgets and their own priorities and their own tax base. And then the county has... The county is basically a catch-all for the state. We're the redheaded stepchilds of the state.
Yeah, I know that, but the jail is in the city. The county jail is in the city. I mean, you know. But what's the difference in spending the money? It's all for the same purpose.
Oh, I hear what you're saying. I mean, it'd be great if you could convince the city council to give us some money, but I highly doubt that they would be willing to come off of that type money for the jail.
Yeah, sound like misusing the money in a way. They just using it whichever way they want to use it, but the problem's going to always be there. I mean, you just have a great day and keep up the good work.
Thank you, sir. You have a good day, too.
893-1450 is our number. 893-1450. That opens a line for you. We'll be back and take some more calls in just a moment. Good morning from WGNS.
Heritage South Community Credit Union now has a new home, 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire.
This is Darlene Robinson, branch manager. I invite you to visit us soon and find out what your community's credit union is all about. We offer free debit cards and great checking, plus exceptional rates on loans and savings. You can join if you live, work, worship, or attend school in Rutherford, Bedford, or Marshall County.
Heritage South Community Credit Union, new offices at 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire. Federally insured by the NCUA.
People ask me, how does Perry Bell sell first quality name brand furniture about half price every day at Bell Furniture? He's learned that if you buy in trailer truckload quantities, you save money. And then instead of making the displays look like a decorator magazine, he puts it all in one big room. That saves money too. Plus, it's only Perry Bell and Linda Ferris there. The overhead is down. Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
We have a slight chance for showers and storms developing this afternoon. Plenty of sunshine, high of 86. Tonight, a slight chance for showers. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Feluber. Right now, 66.
Broadcasting from the tallest tower in the city with that little red light on top. FM 100.5, FM 101.9, and AM 1450.
Here comes the rain again, falling from the stars.
Welcome back. Sheriff Robert Arnold is with us this morning, and you just got some information. We had a call about the number of illegal aliens that were incarcerated.
Yes, I did. I have to say thank you to Lisa for sending it to me. But 27 out of the 40 inmates that we have incarcerated right now are illegal immigrants.
Thank you, Lisa. We're very fortunate to have Lisa Marchioni at the Rutherford County Adult Detention Center
yes,
there.
I'm very thankful.
Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
I'm mad as a wet hen.
Oh, my goodness.
In a chicken cut-off fight.
Uh-oh.
Let me tell you something, Sheriff.
Yes, sir.
I'm not going to be picking on you, but I got to call it like it is.
All right.
Last caller's cousin of mine.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we do have a say-so in the city because we pay city and county taxes.
Yes, you
Amen,
do.
Amen, somebody. Right?
You're right.
Let me tell you what I got a problem with in America, starting from New York all the way to the tip of San Francisco. The judicial system, the banking system, how many more systems we got? All these wonderful systems is set up for one thing, money. It's a sin and a shame how many people in America has got locked up. But what bothers me about that, I'm not saying let the bad guys get away, but look at how much money these people have come out with the last couple of years, 3 or 5 years ago. The big-time people that stole and got away with it, the big bankers and all these kind of people. And they got bonuses. Don't you all think they would make somebody a little...
Interesting.
Amen, somebody.
Interesting comment.
Well, I can say, you know, one thing my grandfather used to always say, money makes the world go round.
But let's say this. Money makes it go around for some people. And it's a sad shame that you got to be rich for the world to go around.
Well, that is true.
You get the better lawyer, too.
Let's tell the truth and be gospel. We say we're Christians. We won't be telling the truth.
Well, I don't think anybody's ever, you know, debated that, and everybody, I think, agrees with you.
Come on now.
That money gets you more, that you get better attorneys. If you're in on a major federal crime,
Brother Bott,
don't you think those penitentiaries, the federal penitentiaries, the really big ones are probably... Haven't you heard those rumors about them being pretty lush? I mean,
I'm not in this.
But I've heard this. They said they are
maybe lush too.
Yeah. Club fed.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah, they do have those out there. Club feds and you know, golf courses on prisons. You know, at the federal level there are.
And we don't have a golf course, do we?
No, we don't have a golf course.
We've got a garden.
Oh, we got a garden. And the garden's getting bigger and bigger. I got a feeling in the next couple of years what's left of the 23 acres that's not being used for building purposes or whatever is going to end up being a garden.
How about an amphitheater and we could have a guitar concert?
There you go.
You know, we were talking
I
at
knew
one
you'd
time
do that.
About
there you go.
Trying to put in front of up there maybe a softball field or something like mm-hmm. that for the kids.
Community.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's be a safe place or a playground. Again, when I kind of speak up about that or mention it to some people, then we just don't have the money.
Night gospel singing.
Well,
that'd be good.
Hey, you can do a lot of things. You build a softball field, you can have bleachers on both sides, and on Saturday night you can have a gospel singing, and on Sunday morning, or not actually Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, you can play a game of softball.
That sounds like a winner to me.
Uh-oh, you got my boots.
I appreciate that, sir.
Have a good one, y'all.
Take care.
You too, sir.
Bye-bye. 893-1450. We only have about 2 minutes left in the program. So if you have any questions or comments, you need to dial really quickly. And Sheriff Robert Arnold is with us this morning from the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office.
I would like to give a shout out to my wife. She is on the way right now to the doctor's office for an ultrasound. So I just want to say good morning. And I love her.
A new baby coming?
August 22nd. Baby boy.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, how many is this for you?
This will be my second.
Your second? Okay.
Yes, and we're done. We have a 4.5-year-old little girl, and we'll have a son born on August 22nd.
Perfect combination. Let's take our final call. You're on WGNS with the sheriff.
Yeah. This was a question. When somebody gets out of jail, and they put them on probation,
mm-hmm.
and then they go to probation every week and have to pay their probation officer every week, this person here, when they get out of jail, they're already behind. And it's hard. Who the people... If either their relatives or friends or somebody, you don't have to help them to ever get back on their feet again. I know this one person had some help and was paying, working and going to school and paying their probation. And about 2 weeks before the time for their probation period to be up, they still like, they paid, it was $6,000 and had paid down to about $1,800. And she told the probation officer, said, I'll have my money in a few more weeks.
Unfortunately, we don't have anything to do with probation, and actually we discussed that about 2 months ago, and my thoughts on it on probation. We don't have anything to do with it. That's the judicial system. Judges put people on probation, and you know that's kind of where it lies with the probation companies and the judges.
And on that word, we thank you for joining us today.
Thank
Sheriff
you for
Robert
having
Arnold.
Me, sir.
Tomorrow at this time, we're going to be talking lawns and gardens, and with spring fully in the air and getting a little rainfall, boy, we've got a lot to talk about tomorrow. Yeah. Hey, have a great day.